And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes, the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered and said unto him, Thou sayest. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. All right, now, did we read this before? Oh, were we just the wrong place? Seemed like we read
this. Seems like pretty close.
Pretty close. Where did we stop?
I think we
I have had, what is it?
We read them, but do we finish discussing them? I'm not sure we finished discussing
them. Well, let me just see.
Yeah, we read, I think we discussed them.
Did we go down to verse 6 also?
Yeah, we went down to 6. We finished it.
Did you go to 7?
We're on verse 7.
We're on verse 7. Okay. Well, let's go to verse 7. Let's read verses 7, 8, and 9. Mark 15. 7, 8, and 9. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with them, who also committed murder in the resurrection. And the multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he had done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Alright, that's 7, 8, and 9. Alright. So what was Barabbas? What was his offense?
He was a murderer,
wasn't he? He was a murderer, and what else?
Thief.
What else?
Insurrection.
What is insurrection?
Rebellion.
Rebellion?
Against the government.
Against the government, all right. Uprising, revolution.
He was against the government and uprising, is that what it was?
He committed insurrection with it, in other words, against the government. Insurrection trying to overthrow Rome, I guess. Like the communists trying to do in our country here and other countries. Then in verse 8, who's this multitude? Who are they? Where do they come from? Where is this located?
Where are we again?
In verse number 8. 15:8. Where were they?
Golgotha.
Well, it wasn't Golgotha. No, they're only before Pilate. Remember in verse 1.
Oh, that's true.
And the chief priest came. But anyway, there's a multitude outside their
place.
They
were in Pilate's hall.
Pilate's hall, maybe. And what were they saying? Did the multitude agree with what's going on? What did they agree? What did they say?
The multitude was crying.
What did they cry? What is their?
They wanted to cry.
Crucify him, I guess.
Who's the him referred to? Desire him.
Jesus.
No.
Well,
who's
Pilate.
The him?
Pilate.
They desired him, Pilate, to do as he had ever done unto them. What had he ever done unto them? What did he do? Yes, Pastor Dan.
He released somebody.
That's right. He released somebody at this feast. One person. And they said, please, release somebody else.
Okay. Every year?
Every year, every Passover. That's his point. Then in verse 9, what did Pilate say to these people, the multitude?
He said, with Jesus, he said, he find no fault in this man.
Well, that's true in other places, Paul. But also here, what did he say in response to this release? Was he going to release somebody?
Yes.
And what was the question? What did he ask?
You want me to release the king of the Jews.
Okay, will you? He asked the people this. You want to release the king. Who is the king of the Jews?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ is the king of the Jews.
What verse is that?
Verse 9. Honey, would you keep up with this? Verse 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, and 9. We're in verse 9. Okay. I can talk to her because she's my wife, so just stand the conversation.
Just shut that. I
just try to get with it. On the verses.
I'm sorry.
Okay, let's read verses 10, 11, and 12. For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy, but the chief priests marveled the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? All right, then, verse 10. Who's the he referred to that he knew? Who's the he referred to?
Pilate.
Pilate again. Who was Pilate? What was his office?
He was in charge.
What was his title? Who put him in charge? Who was he working
for?
Sammy?
He was the governor.
He's a Roman governor. Roman governor. And he knew that the chief priest had done what? What did the chief priest want to do as the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews?
Deliver him for envy.
They delivered him for envy, and they wanted what else?
Kill.
Raise your hand so we know who to call out. They wanted what? They wanted to kill. They knew it delivered him for for envy. It was because of envy delivered, and they knew what the reason was. And then verse 11, what was the chief priest's interest?
Releasing Barabbas.
Okay. They moved, what did they do with the people?
They got moving down.
That's Tammy.
They were stirring them up to release Barabbas.
Okay, so they moved the people. The people, did they want to have the Lord Jesus Christ killed?
Yeah.
Did the people want at this point?
Well, here it shows that, but prior to this.
Prior to that. All right. But they wondered what they're going to do with him, the rich man. Most people should rather release Barabbas. And in verse 12, what did Pilate have to say on that?
Didn't come and call.
Excuse me. Yes, Alfred.
What do you want me to do with Jesus?
That's right. Cass?
I was going to say okay. The same
thing. Tammy?
Well, they were the religious leaders, so they had a lot of authority over the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they were trying to convince them to...
Now notice,
to move against the Lord.
Was Pilate really interested in what they were going to do with Jesus? Was he interested? How many times did he ask about this question?
Twice.
I think he was saying, he really wanted to know, what are you going to do with Jesus, see? He asked two different times, it's the second time. He said, what will you then that I shall do unto him who's called the King of the Jews? All right, let's read verse number 13, 14, and 15. And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil have you done? They cried out more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to let the people release Barabbas and deliver Jesus when he had cursed them to be crucified. By verse 12, who's the they when it says they cried out? Who's the they?
The people.
The people. And who stirred up the people?
Chief.
Yes.
Chief priests.
Chief priests, that's right. These people stirred them up in hatred, so they were quite stirred up. Originally, maybe they were all right, but now, what did they cry out?
Crucified.
That's what they're doing with the Lord Jesus Christ, a terrible thing. And then in verse 14, how did Pilate, by questions, wonder why this is the reason? Why did he put up? Why is the question?
He wants to know what evil he has done.
What evil? Yes, the God. Justified.
Now you said put your hand up, but you're asking people that don't.
All right. He says, why? What is the question that he asked? He asked, why do you want to crucify? Yes, Albert? And what else did he ask?
Albert.
What else did he ask?
Pilate said to them, why, what evil have you done? And cried out more exceedingly, crucify
him. Now, the question, what evil has he done? Has the Lord Jesus Christ done any evil?
No.
He hadn't violated anything. And so Pilate was trying to stop their crucifying him situation. He's trying to be a good counselor. I think he was in favor. He was just a governor. That's all he was. What did he do? And did they answer the question about the evil? Did they tell him specifically the evils that he had done?
No, they hollered out again. Yes. Crucify.
They had no answer to what evil. He hadn't done any evil. They couldn't answer that. More exceedingly, what does that mean? Yes, Anthony?
With more vigor.
More vigor. Crucifying. What was the means of execution of the Jews? What means did they have?
Stoning. Yeah.
And what means at this time was the death penalty of the Romans?
Crucifixion.
That's right. And what do they usually do in ISIS today to kill people?
Beheading.
All the time. Cut off their heads. Sometimes they crucify them. Sometimes they burn them to death. They're horrible. Alive. Terrible. Sometimes in the water. They throw them in the water and drown. But they said crucify them. It didn't change their mind. 12, 13, 14. Then 15, 16, and 17. And so Pilate, willing to present the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when they had served him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed them with purple, and planted a crown of thorns, and put it upon his head. Now verse 15. What did Pilate finally think to do? What was his thoughts in this verse? Yes, Jill.
Release Barabbas.
Okay, that first part. Willing to do what?
Content the people.
When a politician wants to content the people instead of the law, whatever the rules,
he's compromised.
He's a compromise, that's right. He's a Roman governor, he should follow Roman law, instead content the people. And what did he do in contenting the people? In verse 15.
He allowed Jesus to go through the first stage to be scourged.
That's right. And who's, what else did he do? Before that. After that?
He released Barabbas.
That's right. And what are the two or three things that Barabbas had done already?
Insurrection.
Murder.
Thief.
And the thief. Well, got these three things. But people, anything but Jesus. They wanted to crucify him. Anything, even the murderer, of course. Real evil he had done. And released Barabbas. And the second thing after that, in verse 15.
Scourged.
Well, before that, they delivered Jesus. What does that mean? They delivered Jesus. Unto whom? Yes, Anthony?
Turned him over.
All right, they turned him over to Pilate or whoever was the people. And then what did they do? Albert said that?
Then they scourged.
And what does that mean, the scourge?
Whipping.
To be crucified. So then in verse, we read 16, didn't we? 16. Did we read 16 and 15?
Yes, sir.
16 and 7, I guess.
Yeah.
So what did the soldiers do after Pilate released them to the soldier in verse 16? What did the soldiers do?
Yes, led them away to the hall.
By the way, they call it?
The praetorium.
Praetorium, okay.
Praetorium.
Yeah, praetorium, they went to that hall. And then what did they do at that time?
They delivered the whole land to the
problem. Well, not land, but who did they call together?
The band.
The whole band. Who do you think the band would be? Marching band?
The Romans, isn't it?
The new Romans, maybe the priests, the scribes, and elders, or maybe that band. I don't know what band.
Oh, okay.
Could be.
It wasn't soldiers?
I'm not sure. They called together the whole band. It could be soldiers. And then in verse, did we read 17? Or not?
Yes,
we did.
Okay.
Yeah, we read.
All right. So what did they,
the antecedent of the they, and they called together the whole band of they, closest antecedent seems to be
the soldiers. Soldiers, you're right.
So the soldiers are the ones that call the band.
Yeah, the whole band, you're right. That's good, Pastor Dan. The soldiers were the band. The whole band of soldiers.
Are we still connected with the...
Are you still there? Barbara, are you still there? Are you still there, Barbara? Okay, good. Okay, the whole band of soldiers. All right, and what did the... Who's the they in verse 17, then? Who's the they in verse 17?
Soldiers.
The soldiers again.
Soldiers.
Right, what did the soldiers do? First thing they did. First thing, yes, Pastor Alex.
They clothed him with purple.
Okay.
And they gave him a crown of thorns.
But what is the first thing? The purple. What does that signify? Why do you think they clothed him with purple?
Royalty.
That's royalty, right? Because he's king of the Jews and maybe it's a mock king, it's a mockery. But they clothed him with purple. Second thing they did is what?
Gave him a crown.
So what does that indicate?
He's royalty,
but they're just mockery.
But it was thorns.
With thorns. That's not a good crown to have, is it? No matter what, it's what this royal era.
He was the king of the Jews. That was his crown.
Yeah, that's right. That's what the people believed. Did the Romans and the Jews believe he was the king of the Jews? Did the Romans and the Jews believe him?
Yeah.
No, they didn't believe it at all. But he was. So they put the thorns, put it on his head. All right, let's read verse 18, 19, and 20 together. And began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head of the reed, and did sit upon him, and bowed their knees and worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him away, and sought to be crucified. Crucified him. Now, is 19, 20, 21, those three verses?
Yes.
Okay, verse 19. What else did these soldiers do? The first thing they did is what?
Smoting.
Yes, Anthony?
Smoting with a reed.
A reed. Right, I thought it was a hard reed, maybe. I don't know what reed, but it was. They smote him, they slapped him.
Wait,
we're on
verse
19. 18. Oh, sorry. We forgot that. I'm sorry. What did the soldiers do after this? In verse 18. Yes, Anthony?
They saluted him as king of the Jews. Okay. That's why they put a crown of thorns on him.
Did they really believe he was Gave the juice. It's really, really pale.
We're just going through the motions of mockery.
It seems like the Romans, maybe even Pilate, thought he was just crazy.
Could be.
He was out of his mind. And the Jews thought he was a liar. And he was blasphemous.
Yes, Jews thought he was a liar, blasphemous, and done evil. And he said, what evil has he done? But again, it was mockery, wasn't it? Real mockery in verse 18. Then in verse 19, who's the name referred to here again?
Jesus.
No, in this case, verse 8, who is it? Verse 18, 19?
The soldiers.
The soldiers, that band of soldiers. What did they do to them?
Hit them.
I guess we already asked that before.
Two things.
Yes, go ahead. What's the first thing?
Smote him with the reed.
Where? On what part of his body?
Head.
On his head. All right. Smote the reed. Now, as I said, we don't know what the reeds are, but I'm sure there were something that was worth smiting. I mean, it wasn't just a simple tap.
Is it a reed also kind of sharp when you?
That could be too. Could be sharp. Could be scratching his face or head. Whatever. They smote him on the face. And what else did they do? The next thing. Yes.
Spit on
it. Spit it up. Is that? Would you like to be spit on?
No.
Do I? No, we don't. It's a disgraceful thing. That's bad, yes, sir. So they spit on it. And then what else did they do? The next thing. Yes, Anthony. Oh, to the cast. Yeah.
They bowed their knees and worshipped him.
They bowed and worshipped. Was that real?
Or no.
It was spurious again. No. It was just mockery again, wasn't it?
No.
Mockery again. Boy, they had it right down. Did we read 20 yet or not?
I think
we did. Yeah. Okay, that's right. Okay, and who's the they refer again in this verse?
The soldiers.
Soldiers again. What do they do now? What's the first thing they did now? First thing.
They took away his royalty, and they took away his purple robe.
But the first thing before that.
They mocked him again.
What does it mean to mock somebody?
To make fun of
them. Make fun of them.
Ridicule.
What's that, Bob?
Ridicule,
yes, all these things. They didn't like him, these soldiers. And what's the second thing they did after the mocking? In verse 20. Yes, Anthony?
They took off his clothes.
They took the purple.
Purple clothes.
Well, first the purple took away. Now, what is the significance of the purple?
Royalty.
Did they really believe in royalty?
No.
So now their true colors come out. No. See, it was put them on there, but now they're taking it off. They realize we don't believe this. Yes, Jim?
Oh, you said they really believe in royalty, but like
that he was royalty.
In his royalty.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, that he was royalty.
Yeah, they didn't believe it. Took it off. And after that, what's the next thing they did? After taking off his... Well, yes, Anthony.
They put his own clothes on.
Put his own clothes, right? So that's the thing. And then, and what's the next thing he did? Cass?
They let him out to crucify him.
So they realize now he's no longer king. He has not the purple, just his own clothes, regular clothes, and let him out to crucify him. Who told him? Who told them to crucify him, do you think? Who ordered it?
Pilate.
That's Pilate. Right. What was his motivation? Why did he order him to be crucified?
To contend the people.
They wanted to please the people, and so he did. And the group. Now, we read 21, 22, and 23 together. And they compare one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by, coming out of the country, father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place of Golgotha, which is being interpreted, the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine, mingled with myrrh. But he received it now. All right, verse 21. Who's the they again?
Soldiers.
Soldiers. What do they do here? The first thing they did is do what? What do they? Yes.
They found Simon Cyrenian and told him that he needed to carry the cross.
All right. They compelled Simon the Cyrenian, coming out of the country, by the Roger, to bear his cross. Why do you think they did that?
Maybe they wanted him to die on the cross.
All right.
They thought he was going to die before that.
Mm. Why did not they ask him to bear the cross, do you think? Was he able to bear the cross?
No.
Yeah.
Simon.
Was he strong enough?
Who?
The Lord Jesus?
Yeah.
He could have.
Maybe he was weak from all the
pain. Well, he would be weak and strong. Anyway.
They might not have thought he was.
They might not have thought he was effective then.
Or maybe they didn't want to be embarrassed by the fact that he was successful doing so.
Maybe so. Didn't want to make
it. They had somebody else do it so that they would make people think that he wasn't able to do it, but he was able to do it.
And was Simon obedient?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now that's a little, what if somebody told you to carry a cross of a murderer or a bad evil man?
He was kind of like he was conscripted.
Probably conscripted, and if he didn't do it or else, I suppose he was threatened, and so he did it.
Put somebody to carry yours.
Yeah, yes, I'll carry yours if you don't do this. Then verse 22, where did they bring him? What place was he crucified?
Golgotha.
What does that mean?
Place of skull.
Place of a skull. When my mom sent Mrs. Wade and me over there to Israel, we didn't know where the crucifixion was, but there's several different sites and everything else. But they finally landed on Skull Hill. It was up high, right underneath it, there was a taxi cab stand. So it's it is but Skull Hill, but that's Golgotha. It's where they crucified. And then, what is the interpretation of Golgotha in this verse?
Place of a skull.
All right. And then in verse 23, who's the they again?
What did the soldiers do then?
Yes. What did the soldiers do then? Yes, Anthony?
They are the troopers, soldiers, etc.
Mm-hmm. What did they do?
They offered them a drink of wine.
Mingled with myrrh. What would be the effect of wine mingled with myrrh if you were to drink it? What was the effect? A cast?
I think it would be very bitter.
What else? It could be.
I don't know.
The pain.
Things that are telling the pain?
Anesthetic.
So the anesthetic. Did the Lord Jesus accept the anesthetic?
No,
he received it not. Why do you think that was? The Lord Jesus did not receive this. Anthony?
Even better, why did they put myrrh in it?
Myrrh, yeah.
Why did they put that in the wine?
Well, apparently that's a part of the anesthetic. A cast?
That's what I was thinking. What is myrrh? Is it an anesthetic?
I thought
it was like a bitter herb or something.
Well, I would assume maybe something to make it a little bit tastier, but cast?
I thought it was something for burial.
Excuse me, Tammy.
Sorry.
Yeah, burial. Yeah, myrrh was the place to put spice. Myrrh. The spice.
Did it help preserve the body in any way?
Well, I don't know, but I think the reason that he refused the reason was, I think it was an anesthetic to dull the pain. Maybe they gave it to all the people they crucified. Yes. And so, yes, Kat.
That's what I always wondered about this verse. Was he given this in compassion, or were they trying to make light of it, or make fun of him? I didn't understand that.
Well, they were evil and wicked, but maybe at this last time, they thought they'd have a little mercy on
them.
Oh, quickly, they changed their mind, a little mercy.
Oh, okay.
Why do you think he refused it? Yes, Cass?
Because his death was his death. He wasn't being killed by other people. Uh-huh. So they thought it. He gave his life up for the sins of the world.
Yes, Albert.
Or maybe it's to be completely clear of mind, in his full mind.
That's right. Because on the cross, he prayed to the Father, he talked to John, here's your mother, different things he said. So I wanted to be clear.
And he wouldn't have done that if he was in that.
That's right. Now, did the Lord Jesus Christ refuse to have any pain at all? Did he refuse to have any pain? No.
Repeat that again.
Did the Lord Jesus refuse to have any pain?
Did Jesus refuse to have any pain?
Yes. Did he refuse to have any pain?
No.
So he did not need the anesthetic. He wanted to be conscious. He wanted to have all of his wits together. A perfect man, perfect God. And so he refused that. And then, that was in verse number 23. Let's read 24, 25, and 26 together. And when they had crucified him,
they parted his garments, casting lots upon them
for every man to take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over in the name of the Jews. 24, 5, and 6. Okay. Now, what did they do next when they crucified him? Yes, Anthony?
They took his garments, parted them, means they took it off of him.
And what they do was parted.
And they threw dice or lot rack up what his clothes. Who wants to get this clothes? Who wants to get this part?
The first part, what does it mean parted? Yes, tell me.
They divided it.
They tore them in half. And they were dividing it among these soldiers that were there. And ripped apart, parted in that sense. And then, as we said next, what do you say next, Anthony? What did they do next?
Then they cast lots. They, greed.
All right.
What soldiers are going to take this part, one soldier is going to take that part.
Now, what does it mean to cast lots? Cast.
Isn't that something like gambling?
Sort of like gambling, yeah. Sort of like gambling, where they flip a coin and heads and heads and tails, whatever. They want to see who's going to get this part or that part. So there must have been a few soldiers, because there's only a small garment. I don't know how many they've lined up in. And then in verse number 25, what hour of the day was it?
3 o'clock.
It was 9 a.m.
9 a.m. When does the Jewish day begin? When does the Jewish day begin?
6 a.m.
6 a.m. So if the day begins at 6 a.m., the third hour would be what? 9 a.m. So it's 9 a.m., and what did they do then at 9 a.m.?
They crucified him.
So they wait on that. Then in verse 26, but what is the meaning of the word superscripture, superscription?
What does that mean? They put a sign.
Did we read that?
4, 5, and 6.
We read that.
What is a superscription? What does that mean?
Inscription.
Inscription. Super means what?
Above.
Inscription means right.
Writing.
Above
writing.
Above the cross. And what was this? What did this contain according to verse 26? What was it, Emmy? What was it called? What was it called?
Yes. King of the Jews.
Oh no, before that, what is it called? What is it?
It was an accusation.
Accusation. What does it mean, accusation?
A charge.
What is it against it? Yes, Dan?
So, that was, I guess, how Pilate was excusing the crucifixion because he claimed to be the king of the Jews.
Yes, and so the charge, who made that charge?
The people.
The people, and maybe Pilate agreed. They said they came to the Jews, of course you can't do that. But now, later on, in another gospel, what did the people say? I don't know whether it's in this one. What did they say in the other gospel? It's still in this one? Okay.
No. It's not in this one.
What is it in?
In John.
What did they say in John?
Pilate says, I've written what I've written.
So he wrote, King of the Jews. So that was a testimony, wasn't it?
John 19:19.
All right.
And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews.
Very good.
Pilate answered, what I have written.
Yes, very good. Now, in one of the Gnostic critical Greek texts, one of them, or several of them, omit several words. I don't know what word. Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. They just got a couple of verses, I don't know, but it really is all three languages. See, but one of the modern versions, I can't remember which, probably all of them are the Gnostic critical texts, take off one of those languages. I don't remember which, but I have to look at that sometime. But they don't like all three languages to get the word.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's it? All right,
we have
so,
an email.
Pardon me?
Pam is going to read an email.
Go ahead, because I'm not quite ready.
Oh, good. Okay. And so, superscription. That's 4, 5, and 6. All right, let's read 27, 28, and 29 together. Yeah. And with them, the scripture by two thieves. One on his right hand, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, he was first numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days. Is there one more verse? Well, that's it, right?
That's it.
Okay, 27 pages for now. Okay.
Okay, I have
one. Go ahead, then.
Okay, this is from Wisconsin, from Wendy Kosick.
Wendy, okay.
And it's about the benefits of the use of myrrh in herbal preparation.
Mm-hmm.
The medicinal qualities of myrrh. Traditionally, myrrh has been used orally to treat arthritis, digestive complaints, painful menstruation, respiratory infections, leprosy, syphilis, cancers, sore throats, asthma, coughs, and bad breath. Topically, myrrh has been used to treat muscular pains, arthritis, ulcers, sores, wounds, weak gums,
listed bacterial and fungal infections, skin infections, and acne. Myrrh has often been mixed with golden seal powder and sprinkled on the umbilical cord stumps of newborn babies. This application is still used today. It has also been used in a tincture form to treat abscesses. Traditional Chinese use of myrrh includes treatment for many of these conditions, as well as for pain and stiffness, swelling, bruising, blood stagnation, and as a dissolvent for masses and fibroids. In Ayurvedic medicine, myrrh is used as a blood cleanser and for improving the intellect.
Nothing about anesthetic. Maybe
it's a
lot.
Painkiller. So. Pain that's interesting.
It said painkiller.
Right?
It said that.
For pain, muscle pain.
For pain and muscle. Okay, well, that's, well, thank you. Well, I appreciate that. To clarify that, give us some information. That's good. Now, let's see. We've read verse 26. Go ahead. Well, let's wave to Wendy in Wisconsin. Wendy in Wisconsin. Thank you, Wendy. Appreciate that. Wisconsin wave, and a Wendy wave. But then in verse 27, what took place along the Lord Jesus in crucified? What else is it? Did it happen?
They put two thieves on either side of him.
All right. One on each side. And what have they done again? What have these people done?
They stole them.
So, people today would be crucified or killed or something, put to death by stealing. We'd have a lot more deaths and a lot of people dead.
Or a lot less crime.
What's that?
Or maybe there'd be fewer people inclined to steal.
Exactly. It would be surely a deterrent, would it not? If it was for murder for taking the life. And so, what did Anna?
But the more biblical response to thieves would probably just have been to give back what they took. And
yes.
Five times?
Is this fivefold or fourfold, threefold, the Old Testament?
It depends on the...
About the crime, that's right. Albert.
But some of the stealing back in that day was more about preservation for food, as opposed to people who just go out and steal for drugs and this and that and the other thing.
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of stealing. So the restitution was, I stole your cow.
Five times
another
more.
Another cow back.
Five, four.
It's not I stole your TV, I'm going to give you five TVs back.
Probably food or something, good purpose. So two thieves, it's also. Now, where's the location of these two thieves?
On the right, one on the left.
Two thieves, right hand and left hand. And what does it say about the scripture in verse 28? Go ahead, Anthony.
The scriptures were fulfilled. Whatever was written down happened.
Old Testament. And that scripture is found where? Isaiah 53:9. 53:12, Albert has something. Go ahead, Albert.
No, I was going to say Isaiah 53.
Oh, good. I shouldn't have said it. Thank you. Okay. Scripture was fulfilled. Now, let me ask you this. If the scripture wasn't preserved so that the apostles at this time could know what that said back there, they couldn't say it. So what does that say about Bible preservation, the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek language? Words. Paul?
Well, it does say today that because the Bible has been preserved for over 2,000 years, that, in my opinion, that God's Word is still authoritative and still strong to this very day.
That's right. More than 2,000, the Old Testament as well. So they quoted from the Old Testament because they had it. They knew what it was. God preserved that Hebrew and Aramaic so they could quote it, and it was fulfilled. Does God, when He promises something, does He fulfill it?
Yes.
He does. He always fulfills what He promises. And what does the quotation say in verse 28? What does the quotation say? I mean, what does the word say here? To cast?
That it was numbered among the transgressors.
What does that mean? What does that number mean? What does number mean?
Counted among. He was
callous. What are transgressions? What
there's mean people that do
sinners.
Wrong.
Sinners that do something wrong.
Yeah,
break the laws.
Break the law.
Number of transgressions. We didn't read 29, did we?
Yes, didn't we?
Read 29?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
So we also we did, okay. And who are these they that passed by? What kind of people are those be? Are they soldiers or just people? What?
The people who one of them killed. One of them crucified.
Obviously, some of the common people. They that passed by, what did they do? A couple of things. What's the first thing they did?
They railed.
What does rail mean?
They
shout at
him.
Berated. Rail, it's sort of laughing. You know, well, yes, Cousin.
That's shouting at him. Hey, you.
Could be
shouting at him.
Could be shouting at him. What's the second thing they did?
Wagged their heads.
What does that mean, wagged their heads?
Never see anybody.
They're disgusted. Like
just this far. So people do that today. When somebody says something, they just wagged their heads. They just, wait a minute, and what is this third thing that they did? Yes, Anthony?
They said, you're the guy that destroyed the temple in 3 days.
He said,
now look where you are.
He's going to destroy the temple in 3 days, rebuild it. What temple did the Jews think he meant?
The physical structure.
What did he really mean?
The body of Christ.
Well, his own body. That's right. Destroy this body. Praise God. Did the Lord fulfill that? Did the Lord raise up his body in 3 days?
Yes.
Yes.
So the resurrection was there. So, as the bill is said again, let's read verse number 30, 31, and 32. Save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves, there is the scribe, save others, himself he cannot save. That Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And David were crucified with him, who reviled him. Alright, so what in verse number 30, who said the first part of number 30? Who said that?
The people that passed by.
People that passed by. There are all kinds of people. They just looked at Harris Public Christian. Now, did they know what the Lord Jesus had said in prior times? Did they know what he said?
Sure.
Yes, they did. Well, they said because, maybe not, but what did they ask him to do?
Come down from the
cross. Spare himself?
That's right. Say this. Now, was the Lord Jesus able, in his power, to save himself if he wished?
Yes.
Yes, that's
sure. Right.
Yes.
He wanted to, but he didn't want
that's
to.
That's right.
He was fulfilling the scriptures.
Yes, he was able to, fully perfect God, perfect man, but say this up. What else did they want him to do? In verse 30. The people. Yes, Anthony?
Come on down.
Come on down from the cross. Just say this up. Then in verse 31, who else joined the team?
Chief priest.
That's right. And what was their attitude toward the Lord Jesus here? Yes, Cass?
Well, he could save others, but he couldn't save himself.
Like
he could do it if he wanted to.
All right, but the first thing about it is, Anthony, what did they first
They're
do?
They're mocking him also.
What does mocking mean again?
Making fun of him.
Making fun? Laughing? Just mocking? And what did they say to themselves, among themselves, and to others as Christ? What, Anthony?
They said to themselves, look, he can't even save himself.
All right. Can't even save. He saved others. Himself he cannot save.
He could, but he didn't.
He came to this hour. God so loved the world that he gave. From heaven to earth he gave, and then he gave at the cross. That was his will. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. Santana?
The only reason he couldn't save himself was because he was fulfilling the Father's will.
Mm-hmm. He did not go against the will of the Father. That's right. Why did the Lord Jesus come into the world in the first place?
Save sinners.
So you could say that was the law. Say, Anna.
Well, I think at some point they said it's in 31.
All right.
He saves others. Himself he cannot save. But that's because he is saving others, he did not, because he couldn't, it was not possible for him to do both.
Mm-hmm.
So he chose to save others.
Right. It's interesting, it says the people who were with him, among themselves, with the scribes. So now the scribes get into this many, many people, a multitude. Yes, Alvin?
Okay, well, Christ knew in the cross his purpose. and that he would be resurrected again, mm-hmm. and that many, many salvations would transpire after that period of time.
Right.
So he knew he was going to save more lives through God the Father.
Exactly. Let's get this phone call. I like that ring. Isn't that nice?
Oh, wow.
That's Lil Rob from Chicago.
Hi, Pastor. Hi, everyone.
Hello, how are you?
Hi.
Good. I'd like to read a poem that's very appropriate for this, and it's also theologically rich.
Okay, go ahead.
If I may. And a few of you might be familiar with it, and if you're not, you should become familiar with it. It's called Maker of the Universe by F.W. Pitt. As man for man was made a curse, the claims of law which he had made unto the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers made the bow, which grew the thorns that crowned his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were mined, in secret places he designed. He made the forest whence there sprung the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sky that darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread. The sun that hid from him its face, by his decree was poised in space. The spear which spilled his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was human rocks his hands had made. The throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years. But a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him shall bow.
Amen. That's good.
I'll send that along if anyone wants to take a look at it.
Very good. Thanks, Rob. Let's wave to Rob in Chicago. Wave to Rob in Chicago. Thank you very much, Rob. Appreciate that. Oh, God, what verse were we on? I forgot.
32.
32. We have to read it.
Yeah. We have to read it. Okay. Let's read 32. Let's see. We read 31. 32, 33, and 34. All right?
Let Christ
King of Israel descend down from the cross, that we may see and believe, and the dead who cry with him will rise him. And when the sixth hour come, there will be darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is to be interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All right, this verse was start with 31, was it, or 32?
32.
Okay. We'll be able to put that thing away. Let me just put that right there. My phone. 32. All right. What did the people themselves with the scribes say in verse 32? What did they urge to be happening?
That's the chief priests.
All right. Chief priests.
They're discussing it.
And scribes. In verse 31, chief priests, and the people, and the scribes. All three people, three groups. What did they say to the Lord Jesus? Yes, Anthony?
He said, let King of Israel, that's Christ, mm-hmm. be sent, come down from the cross.
All right.
So that we can see
him
doing this, and then maybe we'll believe, but maybe they'll believe him.
So they wanted him to come down off the cross. You see, it said the multitude, and with themselves, the scribes, and also the chief priests. So they had all these three different groups. Let Christ, the King of Israel. Did they really believe he was the King of Israel? No, they didn't believe he was the King of Israel, did they?
They're mocking him.
They're mocking him. Let him descend from the cross. That we, again, what three groups does the we refer to?
That's the chief priest.
What three groups does it refer to? Who is gathered here? What's the first group? First group?
Now, 31, we're talking about
know,
the chief priest. That's a continuation.
No, but who is gathered here making all these announcements? The multitude, not the multitude, all people over there working, see? And then the second thing is who? Second group, verse 31. Yes, who's the second group that was there?
That's the chief priest.
Chief priest. And who's the third group in verse 31?
Scribes.
That's the scribes. Oh, the scribes are there. So we got three groups, the multitude, chief priest, and scribes. All three groups.
Scribes.
Yes, yeah, scribes. Right there, verse 31. Can't you see it, Anthony?
No.
With the scribes. Verse 31, with the scribes. See it?
Oh,
it's right there.
The scribes' job is to write everything down.
I know, but they were with them in this group.
Yeah, to write everything down.
Well, no, but they were there. That's why I said, what groups were there? Multitude, chief priests, scribes, three groups. All right, and then in verse 32, that we may believe. See, these people at Christ are bound. The multitude want to know that, the scribes want to know that, chief priests want to know that. And just if he came down, would that necessarily make him believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Satanic.
Well, the Jews were always looking for a sign.
Mm-hmm.
They always wanted a sign. So this was just another sign. And that doesn't mean they were going to believe.
Mm-hmm.
He said there is one sign that will be given thee, the sign of the prophet Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right. So just because it came down, that wasn't necessarily believe. That's what they said, that we may see and believe. And yes, that's right.
That's great. Did mention here the scribes, or did the scribe, my association has always been just with the Bible.
Yes.
Scribes of the Bible.
Yeah, writing that down.
But scribes wrote other literature, did they not?
I suppose they did.
I'm just saying, are these scribes that are writing the inspired word of God the same scribes that were his accusers?
Well, it could be some of the, there were people that were scripture writing, but they were there at the crucifixion. They wanted to see. High priest wanted to see, and the multitude wanted to see. Yeah,
what? I thought the scribes, and these pastors were the scribes that wrote the scriptures.
Well, that's good. That's one of the things. Scribes mean to scribble. Scribble, right. See, that's what the scribe word means. That's what I mean. That's right. That's true, but they were there. They wanted to see what happened. Even though they wrote the scriptures, Hebrew texts, copied. They wanted to see.
Right, but I mean, my question was, like, in the midst of that multitude, there were people who were not just in rebellion against Christ and didn't believe him. Mm-hmm. Were there also not people who believed and were waiting to see what
that
scripture
was? There were probably some believers in that multitude. Yeah, but
was the place where they wrote the scriptures, was that called the scriptorium?
Scriptorium, I think it was, yes, scriptorium.
They have examples of these, like, at Pensacola and some other places.
Mm-hmm.
Where they have examples of.
Yes, that's true. Now there's a fourth group that was there. What's the first three groups first? What's the first three groups that were there?
Multitude, the chief priests, and scribes.
Multitude, chief priests, and what's the fourth group here now? What's the fourth group of people in verse 32? Who is it? The very last part of that verse.
They were crucified.
There's two more. See? So there were all these different people: multitudes, chief priests, scribes, and they that were crucified. Those that were being crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, the two of them. In other words, what did they do? These two of them. Yes,
Anthony? They were cursing Christ.
They were reviled. What does reviled mean?
That's called cursing.
Could be cursing. Just bad things about him. Whatever. And now we know it from other places. There was one of the thieves that changed his mind. Are we able to change our minds once we're bad, once we're wrong?
No.
Can we change our minds? Can we change our minds if we do something wrong? Yes, we should change our minds. So this one thief realized it. Crucified with a revival. We read 33, didn't we? Did we read 33?
I think so.
What?
Yes, we read it.
What time of day was it here?
6 hour now.
What does that mean? Yes.
If the other one was 8, this has got to be like 12.
12.
When does the Jewish day begin again?
6 a.m.
6, and so 6 and 6 would be 12, 12 noon.
You say 8 o'clock in the morning.
12 noon, yes, 12 noon.
Here's to Albert and Jill.
Albert and Jill, okay, there
you
go.
Thank you.
6 hours, 12 noon.
Thank you.
Now, what was true at the 6 hour, 12 noon, at this occasion? What was true in verse 33?
Darkness fell.
What? Is that normal at 12 noon in the darkness?
I don't think so.
No, that was a special miracle of the Lord. What does blackness and darkness indicate?
Evening.
Night.
Of evil, darkness.
The evening, well, evil too, but the evening. Usually it's the night. It's not night time.
Darkness, how much darkness was it? What was the significance of darkness to you? Yes,
there was a whole
Yes, what is this?
Total thought.
Darkness is a picture of sin.
Picture of sin?
Oh, sorry, I didn't.
And this was during the middle of the daytime.
That's right. This is sin. Now, God wanted people to see this is black, this is wrong, this is wicked and sinful. Crucify my son. Very bad. Now, can I say something?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question.
Go ahead, give the answer.
It says in John that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
Yes, the deeds are evil.
So they do a lot of deeds when it's dark.
Right. Now, was this darkness locally right there on the cross in Golgotha?
No,
over the
whole
land.
It was.
33. What does it say?
Over the whole land.
Over the whole land, that whole area. Darkness. I wonder what the people who weren't at the cross thought about that. Think they were surprised?
They're scared.
It happens every day. Why should they be
surprised? No, but I mean, darkness at 12 noon. It doesn't happen every day. It does not happen every day.
No. Darkness at noon. Darkness happens.
No, but not darkness at noon.
Not in the middle of the day.
Good, we got the form. That's good. That's
read it.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Yeah, very beautiful.
Read it to us.
Well, he already read it to us.
I'm sorry. I fell asleep.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
All right.
Pastor Wade?
Yes.
I know it doesn't, you know, it's not looking at the significance of the cross. I know one place, because I learned of it, where it gets dark 9 months out of the year, like 24/7, and then 3 months it's light. Norway.
In Norway, that's
very, very interesting. I know it has no spiritual significance. I know all that, but just to let you know, that's just one place it happens, even though I know the significance.
Yeah, I think someplace also in the Arctic, and some different days are different and much less light, but you say Norway is one of them. That's good. So, yes, Anna.
So, during the winter, they have 23-hour nights, but then during the summer, they have 23-hour days.
Yeah, it says that's up in the Atlantic, north, way up in the pole, or what?
Yeah,
near
the poles.
In the poles, that's good. So here, darkness, the whole land, for how long was there darkness?
3 hours.
3 hours. The ninth hour would be what time?
3 p.m.
3 p.m.
God's time
for
it to get dark.
Yes, Paul.
So what you're saying is there's some place like up in the Arctic Circle. So in other words, let's say where we have a 24-hour time period here in the east over here. So in other words, what you're saying here, it would be like from 12 a.m. up there to 11 p.m. pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. 23 hours.
And is that what you're saying?
I'm not sure exactly what the time period is, or when it's bright and when it's dark, but I don't know the specific details.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
But it's different than ours.
Yes. It's much longer or much shorter, depending on the time period.
Yeah, right. Time here.
So, the angle of the sun.
Let me, Bob.
This is beautiful poem that Rob
wrote. Oh, yes, he read the whole thing. Yeah, beautiful.
Did he write this?
No, I don't know.
It's written by F.W. Kipp, I think.
Who?
I think it was written by F.W. Kipp.
F.W. Kipp, okay.
Kipp?
T-I-P-P? F.W. Kipp.
Kipp.
K-I-P-P. All
right.
Okay.
I think.
Is that what it said?
That's the verb, by the
way. You know?
Exactly.
I think he
said
it.
When he called.
Can you read it again?
You read it yourself, because he said it to us. Now, it's a good poem. That's a really gripping poem. But now, let me ask you this question again. People generally, in the daytime, if you were to see all of a sudden blackness and darkness, from 12 noon till 3 p.m., what would they like to say? Would they be wonderful?
They'd be frightened.
They'd be frightened. It's not normal, is it?
No.
So this is what the Lord, he just wants people to see. This is darkness, it's sin, my son is being crucified in the cross. So that's an interesting thing. And that was verse number, what?
33.
All right.
Pastor Wade?
Yes, okay.
And I just thought of something that perhaps he wanted the different people to be convicted with the darkness.
Yes.
Not just temporarily scared or something.
Right. You want to be convicted. That's what it's done. And verse 33, what hour is it now?
No,
it's
what we just read.
Oh, we just read. Okay. We all read. That's at 3 p.m.
We just talked about it.
We just talked about it. And what did the Lord Jesus do at this time? Anthony?
Cried out.
Just
Elijah, Elo, Rana, something, which is interpreted to mean, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
What kind of a voice did he use? whisper,
loud
voice,
loud
voice, loud voice. And Eloi, Eloi, Lama Sabachthani. That's Hebrew. And my God, El is God, and I is my God, with an I on it. Lama, why? Sabachthani. Forsaken. Why did you forsake? Why did you leave me? And interpreted. So that's interesting. My God. Now, in what sense did the God the Father forsake the Lord Jesus Christ as he was in incarnate state? In what sense? Yes, Albert?
I would kind of associate it with our flesh understanding the scriptures when we're reminded that our ways are not his ways, mm-hmm. and God's still God the Father, Christ the Son. Mm-hmm. The timing, Christ just didn't know the timing or sense the timing.
Mm-hmm. Now, as to God the Son, did God the Father ever forsake God the Son as to his deity?
Say
that again. Did God the Father ever forsake God the Son? That's what he did.
Yes. Yeah.
One says yes, one says no. Who's right?
No.
No.
I didn't say yes. I was raising my hand to say something else.
Oh, someone said no.
Yes.
And Cass?
Well, didn't Jesus keep his deity when he came to the earth?
Gave his deity, never forsook the deity. Yeah. Can God the Father ever forsake God the Son?
No.
Can God the Father forsake God the Holy Spirit?
Good.
They can't. Their deity, they're perfect, they're perfection, they're working together. They never fight back and forth as well. They never forsake one another. Yes, so Tammy and Anna.
But the Lord Jesus Christ, a man?
Yes.
I mean, we don't,
as a son of man.
We don't understand that union of God, the perfect God-man. Uh-huh. But he turned his back when he turned his back on... When the sins were laid on
mm-hmm.
him as
sin. Yes. As the Son of Man, perfect Son of Man, as humanity, perfect humanity. Yes?
Is something wrong, Mr. Message?
Great. Let me get this right here. Yes, Jacob from Texas.
Oh, yes.
Hello, everybody. Hi.
Hello, Jacob. How are
you? Hey, what is this verse here? Oh, yes, in verse 33, you'll find that in Psalm 22, 2b, and over here in verse 34, you'll find that in Psalm 22, 1, but the one I want to talk about was what you were talking about, Pastor Wade.
Yes.
Did God ever, did he ever lose his deity, I think was the question. I know you asked in a different way, but
yes.
That's here in Hebrews 1, 8, but unto the Son he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness and a scepter of thy kingdom.
Yeah.
Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
Yes, very good. Well, thank you, Jacob. Appreciate that. Let's wave to Jacob in Texas. Way down the line of Texas. Very good. All right. So, as to the Son of Man, as to the perfect humanity, because of bearing the sins of the world, he forsook in that sense. But not to
hello.
Yes, Barbara, go ahead.
He was the sin offering. He was the lamb that was offered up as the sin offering. Sin cannot stand in the presence of God.
Right. That's right. He was a sin offering. As we said this morning in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that's exactly right. So as the sin, he can't stand sin, but that's his deity. In fact, it says, the Lord Jesus said, the Father and I always have the Father and I with me. Even though he's always with him, that's for his deity. But as far as humanity bearing the sin of it, he forsook it. Why has thou forsaken me? All right, so that's in verse number 34. Did we read 35 yet? I don't think we read
35.
Okay, let's read verse 35, 36, and 37. And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave it to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see when Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice when he gave up the ghost. Is that 3, 36, 7, and 8?
Yeah.
Oh, 3, here it is.
5, 36, or 7.
5, 36, or 7. Okay, verse 35. What did some of them that stood by think that happened?
what he called Elias.
Why do you think he said that he called Elias? Why do you think he called
Elias? He was saying Elias.
Elias. So it's not Elias, it's Elias, you see. It's similar. And was he calling for Elias?
No,
it was wrong. But they thought that. A lot of people are trained in this. And then in verse 36, what are them to do this time? What do one of them do this time, verse 36? Just cast.
Sponge.
Put it in green, give the spirit to drink.
Uh-huh.
What would be the situation for vinegar? What's it?
Yeah.
Well,
here has their hand up.
Well, who is it? Who is that?
Albert Reed.
The Jews today are expecting Elijah to come.
Yes.
So is this part of this?
Well, maybe they just
thought something. Jesus
probably because it's that Haley by Haley. Yes, Andrew.
I think the bitterness of the vinegar might bring him around a little more to talk more clearly so that they could hear him more clearly.
Now, is that also an anesthetic?
What did it say?
Vinegar? I don't know. What's that? That's the
astringent
tongue. Well, that would be bitter.
A bit better.
I don't think that's why they gave it to him. I really don't think that they were ever trying to give him comfort. They've gone as far as they can. Why would they want comfort now?
Yes.
The clouds came down, so maybe, and the night fell, so maybe there was a reason.
Well, that's it. Well, we're going to stop right here. At verse number 36. We'll take that up for really next Sunday. But do you have any other questions on chapter 15, the verses that we've taken today? All right, now let's close in a word of prayer. We thank you, our Father, for the Savior that came to seek and to save the lost. We thank you that he was willing to die for our sins. We're grateful that he did not leave that cross and come down as he was asked to do. He had a mission to accomplish. We thank you that he accomplished it willingly, bearing the sins of the whole world in his own body, and dying for those sins. Perfect Savior, sinless Savior, bearing our sins in obedience to his Father. That is in breakfast, bring us back Thursday for Bible study and prayer service, and next Lord's Day as well. With us and bless us, and if there be any in our service or in the internet that are out there that are lost and bound for hell, we pray that they would change their ways and trust the way, the truth, and the life genuinely from their hearts and be genuine Christians and believe and be on their way to heaven. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.